As you can all see, we have a bullseye down here on the altar, and I want to thank Claire and Evan and Audrey, I'm sure she helped as well, for providing that for us. We're going to use that in a little bit. And I want to get right into this word. If you would turn to Mark 4, 35 through 41. Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would go before us today. Lord, that you would pave the way, that your presence would be known among us. And for the purpose that we're here, that we would be obedient, willing, and equipped by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over to the other side." As I'm reading through this, I'm going to stop and interject a few things here and there. And this is one of those places I'm going to interject. That was the day that he was in the boat, in the sea, preaching and teaching, and the disciples were with him, and there were other little boats surrounding him. And Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude that was on the seashore, they took him even as he was in the ship. They just took off sailing because he said, "Let's go to the other side." And there were also other little ships that were with them. They started across the sea in the same ship he had been teaching in, and the other ships followed behind. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full of water, a squall beating against the ship, and it filled up with water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him, and they said unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now think about this. He had performed miracles in their presence. He had taught and preached in their presence. They knew who he was. They knew what he was capable of, but they said, "Don't you see what's going on? We're going down with the ship." And he rose and he rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, "Peace, be still," or "Hush your howling." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful?" Well, maybe because it was a big hurricane going on and the boat was full of water. But Jesus said, "How is it that you have no faith? You've been with me. You've known what I've done. You've seen what I have accomplished. But you have no faith." You know, you have to ask yourself, who caused the squall? If God did, then did Jesus just rebuke what God set in motion? No. Satan caused the squall to scare them, as his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. So then it becomes clear that Jesus' words were to the devil, who caused the uproar in the first place. He is the prince of the power of the air, Satan is, and he causes storms only by permission of God. And Jesus, of course, was God. Now, he just said, "Why are you so fearful? And don't you have any faith?" And they, verse 41, look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. And they said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him?" They were more afraid of what Jesus said to the devil than what they saw in the storm. Can you believe this? Jesus said, "I have the power to speak to the wind and the sea, and they will obey my voice." And yet the disciples were like, "Who is this man?" And they'd been with him, they'd seen him in action, but they were exceedingly afraid of him. That's an astonishing thought. He was a man. He was Jesus. He was God. He was a man baptized with the Holy Spirit. He had the manifestations of power in his life that they had seen in times past. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We have the same power and the same authority that Jesus had by virtue of the Holy Spirit living in us. And I believe that with my whole heart. We have faith in God. He does the work, but we have his word in us, Jesus Christ living in us, who effects the working of the Holy Spirit, and in him we have power. There were other examples throughout the Bible of people who had power over elements. Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, many others. We're going to take authority today in prayer. The reason we are here, I do that all the time. The reason we are here today is to pray. Last Sunday, the Lord spoke to my heart 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, just like this, and said, "Sunday is a day of prayer. We are going to gather. If you feel comfortable coming forward, you do so. If you don't, you don't need to. You stay where you are. We totally understand that. But we are here to pray today for the storms that are raging around us. Jesus had the authority over the elements. Satan has the power over the airs. God gave him that power. He cast him in out of heaven into the airs and gave him that power and authority. But Jesus gave the authority to his bride, the church, to move in his behalf through the working of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we are going to do today. We're going to do it in a little different way than maybe we've done before. But we need faith to rise up within us over the storms that are raging around us. Don and Audrey and I and Becky are going to take some matters, some issues before you and before God in prayer. And we want you to participate. Yeah. These are some of the things that we are going to be using, the weapons that we will be using to accomplish this. And some of the things that we're going to be praying about are, obviously, the virus to end. A final death to the virus. But not only that, every lie and deception that's been shrouded around it to come to light, the truth of God. We want to take these things and direct the prayer to those issues as we move through the list. The hatred and the division among people. I've never seen anything like it. I was too young when the segregation and all that stuff was going on in early 50s and probably before that too, to know really the feelings that were involved with that. But I can't imagine that it was any worse than today. The hatred among people. I want to pray about that. Specifically, the plotting schemes to remove or even kill our President of the United States. Religious oppression. I believe that this is starting at a level, you've heard me say this for several weeks, this is just scratching the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion, if we do not take authority in prayer over this as the bride of Christ. And yes, we're a little small group, but guess what? God, or Jesus only had 12 disciples on that boat with him. It doesn't take a whole lot. I'm not worried about how many are or are not here. The Holy Spirit does the work. We don't. We just do the prayer. And that's what we want to do. The rejection of Christ and the desecration of his holy name. I just get so hurt and so, I can't stand the way people misuse the name of God and the name of Christ. The untold corruption that we see in high places. Oh Lord, bring it to light and bring it to naught. The spirit of Antichrist that we know is behind all of it. And you may wonder, how can you talk about things like this in a political way? Because it's the spirit of Antichrist that's causing these problems. It isn't this people or this people. It is the spirit of Antichrist that hates God. Last week we talked about bringing anything that brought railing accusation against the true knowledge of God. Well, that's what he is doing. But we are called to be salt and light to the world. To go, Jesus said, go and be influencers in our world. The organization that Audrey works for is called Transform Our World. And it's a derivative of, I think, of what I'm going to be telling you now. Years ago, in the 60s and 70s, Bill Bright of Campus Crusade and Lauren Cunningham, very familiar names, of Youth with the Mission, and then also joined by Francis Schaeffer, wrote The Seven Mountains to be influenced by the Church of God. The seven mountains that were spoken of are religion, family, education, government, the media, oh Lord, arts and entertainment, and business. Seven mountains of influence that God expects us to influence where we are. And you may say, well, I can't influence any of those areas or places. Remember, Cornelius was a government worker. Paul was a tent maker. Cornelius, remember, he went to the centurion. He converted the first Gentile, I guess you could say, the centurion. Paul was a tent maker. He was the greatest apostle of all time, but he made tents. He rubbed elbows with people who made tents. Peter, James, and John were fishermen. I'd rather be a fisherman if I had to have a job like that, because you get to be in the water. You can jump in when you get hot. Matthew worked for the IRS collecting taxes. And in the model prayer in Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus gave us these words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if you wonder, what am I going to pray? If it's my turn and you want to come forward and lead a prayer, please do. What do you say? Lord, bring your kingdom to pass. The scope of our prayers can be centered around those words, that his kingdom will be restored on earth as it is in heaven. It's the church having faith, offering prayer, and influencing these areas. God is not afraid of COVID-19. nor the evil schemes of man. He's dealt with storms before. We just read one. He spoke to the wind, and it ceased. And he spoke words to the sea, and it calmed. The interpretation of that, peace, be still, says, hush, knock it off. Like you might tell a two-year-old child, enough. Stop it. I want to ask him today, in bringing his kingdom, what is the kingdom of God? The Bible says that it is his righteousness. It's his peace. It's his joy in the Holy Spirit. It's his healing and his deliverance to every one of these seven mountains of area that we need to influence. In Jesus' powerful and mighty name, before which even the winds and the sea bow. And let's not be forgetful or fearful, because we know what manner of man it is that we pray to today. He's trustworthy and he's just, and he is no respecter of persons. So I'm going to begin the prayer now, and I'm going to ask Claire and Evan to help us hit the bullseye. When we take one of these mountains before the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask them to hit the target as we do, as a symbol that we've stood in faith. It's not what we say, it's that we say. It's not the words that we pray necessarily. It's that we pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, you can use these words. Your kingdom come to our need. Your righteousness come. Your peace come. We have these needs, Lord. Bring your kingdom in our midst today. And that's the approach we want to take. So, Claire and Evan, I'm going to ask now if anyone is sick. If you're sick in your body and you want prayer, before we start with these other seven mountains, I want to address anyone who is sick today. Anyone want prayer? Okay, then I'm going to pray. Father, you birthed this in my heart last week. And I'm asking your Holy Spirit now, Lord, by whatever means you have up your sleeve, we know, Lord, that you are all powerful, to stop the Antichrist movement forward, because it is not your time. Lord, you spoke to us several weeks ago that it is not time now for the bride to be removed. And we know that we are still here, Lord, to effect change on this earth. And we do it by asking you to bring your righteousness, your angels, your peace, Lord, and stop the wiles of the Antichrist among us in Jesus' name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Claire, hit that bullseye. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah.
When Debbie talked to me about this, I looked at the list, and of course everything yep. on the list is something that we all need to be praying about daily, but the media.
Yes.
And the entertainment industry in our world today is probably the most corrupt that we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And yes. I can't imagine that it can get much worse.
Amen.
But I tell you what, if we don't go to God in prayer, I just wrote down a couple of things. According to this website called Statista, And it's German-based, and they're supposed to be very, very neutral and everything. But in the United States of America in 2020, the entertainment and media market is expected to exceed $720 billion dollars. That's money that is being used for spreading lies, spreading hatred, spreading all manner of evil in this world. And globally in 2020, the number is $2.3 trillion spent on entertainment and on the media and on such as that. And what they're bringing to us, and I didn't bring my Bible. Can I use your Bible?
Yes.
Okay. What they're bringing to us in Galatians 5, I didn't prepare real well here. All right,
okay.
Galatians 5. Think about it when you go to the movies these days. I remember Mom saying when the movies were first, of course, they were wholesome, and you could anybody could go to them. But in one movie called Gone with the Wind, and we all know about it, at the very end of this movie was a curse word, the very first curse word ever. And according to my mom, there was an outcry. People couldn't believe that was in a movie. How dare they? How dare they? Now, think about what we look at today in the movies.
Yep.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
Yep.
But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Yeah. And then it goes to, here we go. Now, the works of the flesh, we are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When you think about our entertainment industry today, it's covered right there. It's covered right there. You can't even watch a football game without seeing scantily clad young ladies and young men gyrating and just doing anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And you might ask yourself, and I know I have, that is a huge, huge industry. Huge. And we're little. We're small. But you know what? Just like Debbie said, we are mighty in the power of God. And we can pray and fall on our knees and say, Lord, you are in control. Lord, you take control. But we can also do our part by not participating in those things and keeping our hearts pure, keeping our minds stayed on God. There is a song by Greg Coleman, and I love his songs. I just discovered him lately. And you might think, what can I do? I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do, Lord. But this one song says, I am hands to form your path before you get there. I am eyes to help you on your way. I'm a still small voice to whisper my words into your hungry, hungry heart. And I'm an ear that always listens when you pray. So I'd like to pray against those strongholds. Father, we come before you this morning as a people with hearts that are hungry to see your name lifted high and not what we are seeing from our entertainment industry and our media these days, Lord. These days we don't know who to listen to, which is not exactly true, because we do know that you are the Father of all truth. You are truth, Lord. And we know that when we pray and get on our knees and listen to you, we will know the truth. But help us, Lord, in our daily lives to take a stand against those things which are mentioned in the Bible that are being thrust on this world daily, daily, a bombardment, because the people in this entertainment industry, Lord, and the people in the media know that if they can keep us divided and keep hatred alive and well, then Satan has the stronghold that he wants. And right now, he thinks he's in charge. But God, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, you are in control of this situation. We are not afraid. We are not ashamed of the gospel. And Lord, I pray right now that you would bring a stronghold. Help us, Lord, to stand in the very face of evil and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And to fall on our faces daily and praise your name and give you praise, Lord, and say, Father, we need wholeness. We need healing in this land. Father, we need your help. Father, only you can come against these things. $720 billion people spend to see this stuff. God, I ask you to bring to light what the money that they spend for these things is being used for in all actuality. Bring to light those things that people don't want brought to light. Only you can do that, Father. And we ask you in your name, Jesus. And last but not least, help us, give us the desire to pray daily against the bombardment that we stand in. And help us, Lord, to always, always seek your will and your face and your word. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for what we've been blessed with. And we thank you for minds, Lord, that you have penetrated and that are stayed on you, that are stayed on you. And we ask you to help us with that and to stay strong. And Lord, to depend on you, to depend on you, to be a bombardment and to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We thank you, Father, for your blessings in your name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen. Thank you, Evan.
Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to cover two of the areas that were listed, and the first is education. I think one thing that is very clear right now is that there are a lot of children that were not trained in the way that they should go. They were trained by educators, maybe more even than parents, but between the two, they were not trained in the way that they should go. Our education system in the United States, our public education system, is terribly broken. It consumes an enormous amount of resources and yet generates worse and worse product year after year in children that don't know the basics of functioning. We seem to have known more about education in the 50s than we know today, because then we produced generations of people who could function, who could work, who could go about raising families and be productive. And today we produce children who are unable to function, who are unable, I mean, just setting aside the basics of education, they don't know who they are. They graduate with more confusion than anything these days. And that's what we pay for. It's the system that has evolved in the absence of God. And that's clear. Now, we send our kids to private Christian school. So that's great. They get education about Christ every single day. They know more about the Bible than I did at their age. But not every student, and I would just like to say, these areas of influence, these mountains of influence, as Mom described it, the church has long ago abandoned many of these areas, decided it's an ugly world out there. These are ugly things. Politics is ugly. Business is ugly. Even education has got, we'll set up schools for, you know, Christian schools. We'll send our kids to Christian schools. We'll take care of ours and let the world do what the world wants to do. Well, we see now the result of the hands-off approach of the church. We see monuments of history. I don't have any, you know, emotional ties to any monuments of history necessarily. We're here on the West Coast. We don't have the kind of history that they had on the East Coast, but it's wrong to be tearing these monuments of history down. I've read that if a community wants to vote in a democratic way to move a monument from point A to point B, fine. That's fine. It's a democratic society. But a bunch of brats running around tearing things down because they're angry, that is what our education system over the last several decades has produced. And a lot of it has to do with a hands-off approach of the church. Now, there's not a ton that we can do in every instance, but we can pray. And that's what we're going to do this morning for the education system in the United States, because the education system is producing the young people who are affecting media, who are affecting business. And what do? When they get into positions of power, they turn their attention to the church. They haven't been raised to respect the church or God at all. If anything, they've been raised to hate it. They see God as a threat. It's not part of their understanding. It's not part of their makeup. And so when they get into elected positions, what do we see? We've seen it. We've seen it with COVID. We've seen it with all these other things going on. They turn their attention towards everything that seemed to be good, and they want it taken down. It offends them. They want it gone. It hurts their feelings. Take it down. Take it away. What is it going to be replaced with? We have no clue. But again, it goes back to a spirit of Antichrist. A spirit of Antichrist is driving this confusion and hate, and it's been trained in from early ages. Our kids don't know who they are. They don't know what to believe. Certainly, the history of the country is no longer something to teach or to respect, and they come up with emptiness. But we want to pray this morning that God, in the holy name of Jesus, bring meaning back to our children, not just in schools, Lord God, that we set up for our own children, God, but across the country in the public education system, where many times teachers, Lord God, have so much control over what our children know and believe. Going all the way up to the highest offices of elected officials, Lord God, these curriculums are designed to strip identity, to strip meaning, to strip morality, to strip certainty out of the understanding of our children and the children of this nation. And so we pray in the name of Jesus that the strongholds of the Antichrist that are built up within our education system be revealed, be exposed, that these are our children being misled, mistaught, affected in such horrible and negative ways, being stripped of their identity in Christ, being stripped of an understanding of context and history as to how we got to where we are today, and all markers of morality, all markers of Christ being removed or obfuscated or covered up or hidden. We pray that the truth of Christ be revealed within, Lord God, this mountain of education, and that your truth be known, and that the lies be exposed, and that the liars be exposed, and that we no longer pour our tax dollars into an education system that disables healthy children and produces broken souls. In the name of Jesus, we pray that the arrow of our prayer today hit the bullseye and begins a process of tearing down the destruction and dismantling the destruction that has befallen our children, so that we can once again train up a child in the way that they should go, and that when they reach the age of being able to affect society, they won't depart from the word that was instilled in them, that they will embrace the truth and reflect that as they work in business and government and media and all these other areas, and that they respect God and the right that we have in this country to worship him. In your name we pray. Amen. The other area I wanted to discuss was business. And I went through a lot of education in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s through college and law school. And in law school, we were met on orientation day with a statement, because I went to a Jesuit law school, and they said, "Don't worry, you won't be taught anything about religion here." In other words, apologizing for the religious history of the school and saying, "Don't worry, there won't be any talk of God in this school." And, you know, that even so, things weren't as bad then as they are today. And then graduating into a world of business, you know, I worked at a law firm that was a corporate law firm, or at least the work I did was corporate work. And the work was going about forming corporations for people's ideas to, you know, to flourish and to benefit a marketplace. And the idea in business was that shareholders would invest in a business, and that the purpose of the business would be to generate income or generate value for those shareholders. I mean, that's one of the main drivers of business, is we invest money into the business market, and it is the purpose of those businesses to make the decisions that create value. That changed, believe it or not. And during the time that I was there at that firm, I remember one of the things that struck me, that affected me the most, was there was a CEO of a company called Mozilla. And it's a tech company, a local tech company. And they found that that CEO gave money towards the proposition to build into the Constitution of California that marriage was between a man and a woman. And it was found that he gave money towards in support of that. And they threw his name out into the press, and he was removed from his role as CEO of that company because of how he voted in a particular election. And that made a mark in my mind that business has changed, that it's no longer about, you know, creating value for shareholders, that the business has bought into, you know, the concept of social justice and decided that they now have a greater purpose, and that greater purpose is affecting change in society and to use their resources to do so. So business no longer exists as a sort of neutral actor. Business is now an active actor. Another really, really good and timely example of this is that Facebook, everybody knows who Facebook is. They've been trying to be neutral somewhat in not removing content. No one's doing a great job of this, but they've pushed back on requests that they take things like that the president may put up there or other people may put up there that the businesses don't like, that they remove it, that they take it down. And they've said no. They've said we're trying to be a marketplace of ideas. And now many large corporations have said that we will not advertise on your marketplace. And even news organizations are jumping, going back to media, jumping out there and saying, we're going to name the names of the businesses that haven't yet pulled their advertisements. Businesses used to sell us products. And now businesses sell us products and tell us what to believe. And that's different. It's different than any time I can recall. So when you buy a Coca-Cola, it's not just a drink. It's a drink and a doctrine. It's a drink and a belief system. It's causing a ton of damage, and it's coming from a direction that we're not used to, and it comes with an immense amount of financial backing and control. But alas, it is not greater than the power of God. And so what we want to pray today is that the corruption, and it's not a mistake that the people in control of these businesses are the people that have been generated out of our education system. They came in with an ideology above all, and it wasn't about creating value, doing business, and letting people live the way they want to live. It was about changing everything, changing society completely, and obviously not based on godly principles. What we get are the principles they learned in colleges, even like the one I went to that said, yes, we're a Jesuit college, but don't worry, you won't hear a word about God here. And that's what the young people are seeing. And that's what they're being equipped with going into business. And that is why we're seeing what we're seeing today in business, in politics, in the media. And it goes back to, again, the church taking a hands-off approach. And all we can do now is depend upon the Lord to come in and do what we cannot physically do ourselves. Some of us have some influence here or there, but in a small group like this, none of us can do it in and of ourselves. But the Lord can. He has complete and total authority over these situations. And he sees all. And as he says, he sees us and he sees everything going on. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray in your name, Lord God. The church, Heavenly Father, said business, that's not our thing. Education, that's not our thing. We're over here, we're practicing our religion, God, and that's our thing. We'll leave those other things alone. Well, in the absence of the prayer for the businesses and the education system and the media and these other areas, the devil went to work. And he made some progress, God. And now that there are young people that have come up through these education systems and delved out into the world of business, they're turning their attention back to the church. And we know what's instilled in them, Lord God. It is anti-Christ. And it sounds scary and difficult to think that the young people of America carry a spirit of anti-Christ, but we see it and we hear it. The truth hurts their ears. It hurts their ears and it hurts their eyes, and they want it removed from in front of them. It is so much more, Lord God, than just education. It is so much more than just business. There are spiritual realities and strongholds behind this deception. But God, we pray that you clear the deception and that you open the eyes, Lord God, that people are being fooled, that people are being literally sold a bill of goods, Lord God, it is lies, it is deception, and it is corrupt. And we pray, Lord God, again, that your truth be revealed in the world of business, that your truth be revealed in the world of products. Lord God, the materialism that plagues this nation just goes further, Lord God, to cover up the truth of your word. But now it comes with its own religion. It's not just materialism. It's not just buying products. Now it's being sold with a belief system. And it's anti-Christ. And we pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ that the mountain, Lord God, of business be toppled and rebuilt in the name of God, and that the lies be exposed, Lord God, and that the liars be exposed, and that our young people that come out of these education systems broken and lost, Lord God, and go into the businesses with a broken and lost worldview and mindset, Lord God, be redirected to the truth of God. We pray, Lord God, for our leaders in education, and we pray for our leaders in business, that we may again see peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
There's so much to cover in prayer for our nation and for one another. And I mean, each one of us has such a long list for ourselves and our health and well-being and the well-being of our loved ones. There's so much, but I narrowed it down to religion and also family. And I lost my page here, but I was going through my notebook here, this notebook that I write little scriptures down, things that I, you know, come across and want to remember for later. And I found this drawing that the Lord gave me, an image in my mind. I don't know how long ago this was. This was all many years back, maybe five. And I didn't know what it was for. I just saw a picture in my mind, and I felt compelled to draw it. And it's just been in my notebook. And I saw it today, and it just sort of made my heart leap. And it is a picture of God wearing armor and the shield of faith, and he is picking me up off the ground. It's my arm, and he's picking me up and holding the shield of faith to his chest and telling me, like, there's strength in him. And so I just saw this and thought, wow, is this was for this time? You prepared me ahead of time for this time? And then I started looking through the notes, and I saw, well, I wrote down about the battle last year, and I was confused what the battle was, and I just, it's so clear that this is the battle, and that this is time for targeted prayer, and that this is the time he was preparing ahead of time for, and giving me scriptures. And one of the scriptures that was valuable to read last year that is coming back in such a time as this, is the whole chapter 20 in the book of 2 Chronicles, and Jehoshaphat is in charge of the kingdom, and he gets word that A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the sea. They're already nearby. And then Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, begged the Lord for guidance. And then he also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. And then people from all around the Judah, they came and they stood in a community. And then Jehoshaphat prayed and he said, "O Lord, the God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you." He reminded himself, the people, who am I speaking to? God, you are all powerful. "Oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham?" And then and he goes on and talks about, "Oh, didn't you deliver us from the plagues and famines?" And he reminds himself and everyone about what God has done, already done. And then all of the people of Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. And his name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Matan, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. And he said, with the Spirit of God upon him, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King of Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And did not God tell us that same thing by the Holy Spirit, that the battle's not ours, the battle is God's? We just stand right next to him. We just stay close to him, and he will wipe out that army." And guess what happened? So then he said, so later on in the chapter, King Jehoshaphat bowed low, his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. And then next morning, the army of Judah went out. And let's see. And then after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever." And at that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. And the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to fight amongst themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. So they fought against themselves. And so when the army of Judah arrived and looked out at the lookout point in the wilderness, they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see, and not a single one of the enemy had escaped. So I would definitely, if I were you, read chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, because it is a deliverance message for us. God is fighting for us, and it's not even a fight for him. It's we just let's worship God. That's simple. Just remind ourselves, what has God already done? And then encourage our souls and sing praises to him. And that's another thing. We as a church, and not just our church, but all churches who are devoted to our Lord and Savior Jesus, we just have to remind ourselves, what has God done? And start dwelling upon him. And, you know, when I do my laundry and when I'm doing my dishes, if I sing praises to God, my household is changed. Like, the peace of God is upon me. The enemy does not want to hear anybody worship Jesus. And so that is a mighty weapon. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, for the for the church, Lord God, for your true church, Lord God, to remember who they are and remember who they serve, Lord God, because you are able, Lord God, to do abundantly more than we can even ask, Lord God, and you want to take care of us just like a parent wants to take care of their child, Lord, and I just pray, God, you keep us close to you, Lord. Keep us close to you in this time. Help us remember to draw near to you as a church, Lord God, as individuals, Lord. Help us have that prayer closet, Lord God, and find that secret place where we can build intimacy with you, Lord God, where we can build that relationship with you, Lord God, that we can remind ourselves who we are in you and what our identity is in you, Lord God. We're not to really do a whole lot, Lord God, but we just need to spend time with you, Lord. That's so easy, Lord, and yet so challenging sometimes to set that time aside. So I pray, God, by the Holy Spirit, that you move across the United States of America, across the globe, Lord, and that your perfect will be done here on earth as it's done in heaven, and that relationships with you would be restored in the mighty name of Jesus, and that your true church, Lord God, would be glorified and radiant, and Lord God, washed clean by the blood of Jesus, spotless bride for you, Christ Jesus, for when the time is right, that you can return and see a spotless bride. Lord God, thank you, Jesus. And for family, Lord, thank you, Lord God. You know, one difficult season that I had with little ones, I was in the Word all the time. And one scripture that God gave me for my family is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. You don't put God first. Families, put God first, and then he'll take care of everything else. We have to remind ourselves daily, you know, it's not always about chores and responsibilities, but we have to set that time, that quality time aside to spend in the Word, or else we're missing the point. Like we're here to be examples of what the unity of the Trinity looks like here on earth. And we can't be perfect about it, but we can give it our best. So Lord God, I take all the American families and all the families around the globe before you, and I petition, Lord God, that you turn hearts, Lord, of the children back to their fathers. I pray, Lord God, that children would honor their father and mother so that they could live a long, good life, Lord God. I pray, Jesus, that fathers would have patience for their children, Lord, and all that comes out of relationship with you, and all that comes out of putting you first, Father. And I pray for restoration in homes and misunderstandings to misunderstandings to be healed, Lord God, that you would help change the family dynamics, Lord God, that are broken today, Lord, that are broken because they didn't put you first, Lord. I pray for selfishness, Lord God, to bow down, Lord God, to sacrifice and to selflessness, Lord God. I pray, God, that you would circumcise the flesh of all people, Lord God, who are putting themselves above their family members. And Lord God, I just pray for forgiveness of all family members who've hurt one another, Lord, and that one another could be living in unity and peace. It seems like it almost impossible, but with man, it's impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for our families. In your name I pray, Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Everything that I read off, the virus, the hatred, the plotting schemes, the religious oppression, the rejection of Christ, and the corruption in high places is either centered in or affected by government. And that is the last mountain that we need to take to the Lord right now. Does anyone want to lead us in that prayer concerning the government? No? Father, we bring these things to you because we are the people We don't control these things that are handed down to us, but we can pray, and we ask you, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we speak the words, and you do the work. And we now, in the name of Jesus, we speak your power and spirit to be released in high places in the government, in places we would not expect to see, Lord, that we see the power of God moving in people's lives, on judiciary boards, Lord, in the Congress. We pray for the Holy Spirit to hover over the House of Representatives and cause conviction, Lord Jesus. Cause turning to your spirit, turning to your heart, Lord. And we pray for the Senate. Oh God, we pray for hearts to be turned back to you. We ask, Lord, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit to dwell in that place. This country was built upon belief and the free worship of Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior. And God, I pray that you restore that in Jesus' name. Bring your righteousness to our government. We ask it today. We stand in faith together in belief, and we thank you for it. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for each and every one of these areas that we've affected today by prayer, as you directed us to do, Lord. We want to see these strongholds come down and the glory of the Lord rise in its place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. And you may be dismissed.
Thank you. Didn't they do a good job?